Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The Word that was with God and is God in the beginning, that Word is ever in the Father's embrace, hugged by Him so He can make Him known.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of John.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. People loved by God, how great was our joy at the previous verse. The eternal Word, who is with God and was God, became flesh of our flesh, pitched His tent smack dab among us. And we saw His glory, John said, glory that could only belong to the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we rejoiced at how the fourth evangelist portrays the glory of the only begotten above all as shining forth in His self-sacrifice on the cross. Today, we move to the next verses, and it's important to note that in the original text of the New Testament, there simply wasn't any punctuation. So whenever you see something like a parenthesis in the text, that's the editor's best guess, not something that's Word of God for sure. And so the editors of the ESV enclosed all of verse 15, that's going to kick off the reading today, into a parenthetical thought as though it were not intimately connected with what came before or follows after. You know, I think it's significant that the fathers treated the words after verse 15 as also coming to us from the mouth of St. John the Baptist, his own witness continuing. Luther certainly read it that way, and I'd invite you to hear it that way also. So if you're following along in the ESV, ignore the parentheses. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God, or the only begotten Son of God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." John 1, verses 15 to 18. Let us pray. O Almighty God, always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So John the Baptist is back on the scene, and you remember why, quote, so that all might believe through him, end quote. Remember in Luke 20, when Jesus' authority is questioned by the chief priests, scribes, and elders, he asks them a question for them to answer before he will tell them by what authority he's doing his things like cleansing the temple. He asks, "Now tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man?" You remember they didn't want to answer because they knew if they said from heaven, well, then he'd ask, "So why didn't you believe him? As in particularly in what he said about me." But they were afraid to say from man because here are the key words. The people will stone us to death, for they are all convinced that John was a prophet. The people believed that John was a real deal prophet. No question for them. His ascetical and holy life convinced them. And that was important. Because when the Lord Jesus appeared in his humility among us, the eternal Word of the Father did not choose to show up glowing, like at the Mount of Transfiguration, or looking striking in his beauty like some Olympian Adonis. Isaiah, remember, said, "He had no form or comeliness that we should desire him." Jesus, people loved by God, he looked like an ordinary Joe. And John is here to bear witness. Folks, this ain't no ordinary Joe. No, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. Think about that. You know from St. Luke's account that John the Baptist is actually conceived some 6 months prior to the Annunciation of Gabriel to the Holy Virgin. John is literally 6 months older than his kinsman born of Mary. That's why John's nativity is celebrated on June 24th and our Lord's on Christmas Day, December 25th. 6 months apart, and yet he ranks before me because he was before me. John the Baptist, like John the Evangelist, is summoning us to awe that the very real human being who pitched his tent among us when the Word became flesh really is the eternal Word. He is the Word that was before John, before his mother Mary, according to his divinity, before David, before Moses, before any angel, before any sun or moon or stars first shone, before anything was, he was. And yes, so he ranks before all of them. And if the next words are to be heard in John the Baptist's mouth, I think they make all the greater sense. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Imagine John looking at the people standing there listening. I'm telling you about the one who's coming after me. And Luther stresses, right after me. There's no interval with another prophet. John is the last of the prophets, the finger that fingers the Lamb of God, points to him unmistakably so that Israel and everyone will know. He's here. He's among us. You may not know him, but I was sent so that you may know him. And whether you know it or not, it's from his fullness, it's from his light, it's from his life that all of us have benefited, all of us have received, whether we know it and admit it or not. This one who is among us, who ranks before me, he's the source of us all, of everything, absolutely everything, grace upon grace, gifts tumbling over gifts as his grace is poured. Grace is so huge. Listen to how Augustine, greatest of the 4th century church fathers and the doctor of grace, marvels at this. He says, if then you were worthy of punishment, and he came not to punish sins, but to forgive sins, grace is given to you, and it's not a reward rendered. So why is it called grace? Because it's freely given. For you did not, by your previous merits, purchase what you received. This first grace, then, that the sinner received, that his sins are forgiven. What did he deserve? Let him ask justice. He finds punishment. Let him interrogate mercy. He finds grace. For because of what merit do you receive eternal life? Because of grace. For if faith is grace, life eternal is, as it were, the wages of faith. God, indeed, appears to bestow eternal life as if it were due. To whom is it due? To the faithful, because they had merited it by faith. But because faith itself is grace, life eternal is also grace for grace. Now, even more from the Baptist mouth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews parallels so much of John's thought in his gospel. And he also contrasts Moses and Jesus. Moses, he writes, he was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were spoken later. But Christ, he is faithful over God's house as a son. Hebrews 3 verses 5 and 6. The son can do what the servant cannot do. And so the servant can and does relay exactly what God's will for us is. And thereby, says St. Augustine, the law holds us guilty. It shows us our sin. It cannot heal or remedy the problem which it exposes. For that, you need more than Moses, more than a servant. For that, you need the Son, who comes chocked full of grace and truth. St. Augustine writes, Moses shows our sin. Moses shows our solidarity with our first father, Adam. St. Augustine again, all, however, who are of Adam are sinners with sin. All who are through Christ justified, just not in themselves, are just in him. John adds, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Or, as some manuscripts have it, the only begotten Son who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. But is it true that no one has ever seen God? I mean, you just heard about Moses. Didn't he see God? Well, you remember he saw something, but God was adamant that he could not see his face. Not yet. And so he saw a consuming fire, he heard a voice, but he saw no form. And yet, we have this Word who is God, who is with God, and who here is, quote, at the Father's side. That's better rendered, I think, in the Father's embrace. Luther points out that we don't tend to use the word bosom to describe men. We speak of them holding something to their chest. But this is that bosom word that suggests holding and hugging tightly, like a mom holding tight to her child. The Word that was with God and is God in the beginning, that Word is ever in the Father's embrace, hugged by him, so he can make him known. The word there in Greek, make known, it's the same word that we get the term exegesis from. It means to lead out the meaning of the text, to explain and expound it. The one to whom the Baptist witness, as full of grace and truth, free gifts abounding, from whom we have received one free gift on top of another, that's the one who really knows the Father, because he's never not been in the Father's embrace. He's the one and only one who can introduce you to the Father so that you come to know him as he truly is. He'd put it like this later. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is your door to the Father's heart. He's even called the Word in part because it's only through him that you actually hear what goes on in the Father's heart concerning you. He reveals it, interprets it, explains it, exegetes it. In one of the greatest contemporary hymns of the Christmas season, the poet and pastor Stephen Starkey invites us, oh, sing of Christ whose birth made known. Exegete it, the kindness of the Lord, eternal Word made flesh and bone so we could be restored. Upon our frail humanity, God's finger chose to trace the fullness of his deity, the icon of his grace. So you have the Baptist word on it, wonderful and powerful, the one who ranks before him because he was before him and whom he has come to finger to point out to one and all. This Jesus who looks so amazingly ordinary, John says, is actually the hidden fountain of all grace and the source of all truth. Now, one last thought on truth. The Jews knew that Moses handed over the truth of God to them in the law, and Jesus does not come in contradiction to the law. Remember how he clarified that in Matthew's gospel. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And yet, the truth that is in Jesus, while it's not in contradiction to the law, is actually deeper and more profound than anything Moses wrote. And how could it be otherwise? Only Jesus can let you in on the secrets of the Father's heart. Because only he is the eternal Word who has been in his Father's embrace before time ever came to be. So he's grace, and he's got truth for you, and your life hangs on both of those. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. For any size gift by the end of 2019, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Whedon's devotional book, Celebrating the Saints. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.